Another one of our digital overlords that's pretty impossible to ignore is Apple. Whenever Steve Jobs announces a new product, he's pretty much treated like a rock star.
Thank you very much. It always Thank you.
Even when it's not an actual physical product. That's from the other day with Apple's rollout of its iCloud system. And then the next day, Jobs had a much smaller audience for a different kind of fantastic, futuristic presentation.
And we're very honored to have Mr. Steve Jobs to come here tonight.
Steve Jobs was at a meeting of the City Council of Cupertino in Northern California. He was there to show the design for an all-new Apple headquarters.
And we've come up with a design that puts 12,000 people in one building.
The building would be a giant glass donut, four stories tall and more than a half mile around. Or, as Steve Jobs says,
it's a little like a spaceship landed. But there it is.
For geeks like me, this would be interesting no matter what. It's being designed by one of the world's most celebrated architects, the 76-year-old Sir Norman Foster. But because it's also Apple and also the personal and maybe final design dream of the unstoppable Steve Jobs, it's an event.
It's all really about showmanship. You know, just like his presentations of technology, his design and his architecture are about showmanship.
That is the design writer and curator Phil Patton. He's been thinking about what this building means for Apple and the design legacy of Steve Jobs. Phil, welcome to Studio 360.
Hi.
So the renderings, and we only have renderings, and therefore we can only judge so much for something that isn't built yet, but there is this sort of mythic early, mid-20th century vision of the future about them, right? This silver circular building hovering over a grove in a place called Silicon Valley.
Yes, part spaceship, but also really it boils down to sort of a castle. You're either inside the ring or outside, and all the goodies, that the environmental stuff, the trees, all that's all inside for the members
in
of the
hole
Apple
of the donut.
That's right. It is a perfect metaphor for the best and worst of Apple. You know, elegant simplicity, but the problem is sometimes the simplicity comes at the cost of integrating with others or with practicality. Like famously, the ring-like antenna issue with the iPhone 4.
Well, and it's very modernistic in a kind of old-fashioned sense. I mean, architecture of the last 30 years has been sort of about weird angles and strange mutating shapes, where this is smooth and perfect and round.
And yet, you know, anyone who's ever been in a circular building, if you're ever trapped in a circular airport looking for gate 14, you wander around, go to the Hirshhorn Museum, a circular building from the classic modernist period. Circular buildings are, lost. You wander around.
It's utopian, but there's a little bit of dystopia going on in there, maybe.
You're more in that Big Brother ad than out in the audience.
Apple design, I admit, I have been for many, many years a complete cultist and sucker for Apple products. What is it about them on a both deep design level and a superficial design level that so seduces so many of us around the world?
Well, what's fascinating is that it's not just the current generation. There's a whole history of it. But the common thing was this elegant simplicity, symbolic, the next computer, a foot-size cube. You know, these exciting kind of symbolic shapes that spoke about the spirituality of technology. And this is what Jobs has understood always. The emotional power implicit in the product makes people feel all the potential.
Well, and there's something as though it seems to take in as influences the kind of popular imagination formed by science fiction and Star Trek and all the rest.
Yes, right. He's delivering the future. And Jobs is very influenced by, like so many of this generation, the 2001 Space Odyssey. Remember the sort of balletic arrival at the donut-shaped Chesley Bonstell, Wernher von Braun wheel-like space station.
In,
so the future is round.
Yeah,
we know the future is going to be around from that.
And this building, this new headquarters, there's no piece of straight glass in it, apparently, which is apparently very expensive. And I'm reliably told by somebody who's close to Apple that there was tremendous pushback from people even in the company to this project, which is sort of standard Steve Jobs MO, I guess.
Well, you know, the whole history of companies after these things happen is not necessarily good. And if you really look at what is successful about Apple over its history was a streak of rebelliousness. Macintosh was famously developed when Jobs was in semi-exile within the company under the pirate flag, off in an architecturally undistinguished portion of the then Apple campus. So once you have this kind of singular organization, you wonder about creativity being possibly staunched.
Is this a building, do you think, from what you've seen, that 20, 50 years from now people will be talking about and caring about?
I think it'd be interesting to see it as a landmark, probably to a period when these companies have very short lives. I mean, look at how we look at the General Motors Tech Center with its styling dome, which was a monument in 1955. The Chrysler Building,
which Chrysler hasn't been in for many
right.
years.
I mean, it was like 5 years they were there. I mean, building one of these things is risky. You know, you're tempting fate. You know, of course, they build them at the top of their game, but they become monuments to the best things that come in. So, you know, this may be seen as a period to the sentence rather than a semicolon or colon to the future.
Phil Patton, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Phil Patton writes about design for the New York Times, among other publications, and teaches in the Design Criticism Program at the School of Visual Arts. You can see some images of the proposed Apple headquarters at studio360.org.